continue. Great. Once again, my name is Joe Crummy. Welcome to Christ Central Church. So glad you're here, and welcome to those who are joining us online. As I said earlier, Happy New Year, as it's the beginning of the school calendar, and for most of our church life, it goes more September to August than it does January to December. So today's a good day to take some time and just walk through some things about our church life, and we never want to assume everyone understands who we are and why we do what we do and what we're about. So today's a little bit different because we usually call this sort of the first Sunday in September, even though it's the second one. Our Vision Sunday, we go over this again, who we're about, all the different things that are happening. We do a bit of a review, and we share what's happening over the next sort of 12 months, or at least till Christmas, as we believe God has revealed to us. And so, by way of introduction, just to say, we're gathered here because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if we look in God's Word, we see that we're created by God for relationship with God. And we have seen all throughout history that we've kind of gotten off track, and God sent Jesus, His Son, into the world to get us right with God, just as Hazel said during our worship time. And so Jesus came, fully God, fully human, and Jesus said some pretty radical things that we read in God's Word. And Jesus said things like this, that I'm the good shepherd, and we're like sheep, and we're to follow Jesus. Jesus said this radical thing in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone wants to come to God the Father, you come through me. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He had all these I am things. If you follow me, you won't be in darkness anymore. And we as Christians, we have received that call from Jesus to believe that if we turn from our own life and we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, He makes us new, He makes us right with God, and He puts us into a church family. And this Christ Central Church is one of the local churches, one of the families that are part of God's bigger family of God. And believing those things, very simply, what we're about at Christ Central Church is this. We're all about making Christ central in our lives, our church, and the world around us. That's a pretty easy one to remember. So a lot of people say, I meet people all the time, Joe, what's Christ Central all about? It's very simple. It's this. It's about making Jesus Christ central, number one, in our own personal lives. So that affects every aspect of our lives. Those are the things, those songs we were thinking about in our worship time. We're saying, God, you are worthy of our praise. Our whole lives, everything we think, everything we speak, everything we do, our motives, our actions, our deeds, are all around you being central. And folks, that's hard. That's hard because we're selfish and we have a world around us that tells us different things very loudly. And we're saying everything we're about, we're seeking to be about Jesus being central to our lives. We're seeking that Jesus is central to our church. So a lot of people have a lot of ideas about church. And we're saying, hey, we're being very open about it. Jesus is the head of this church. Jesus is the lead pastor of this church. Jesus is the good shepherd of this church. And we want this church to all be about Jesus, gives us access to the Father, gives us His Holy Spirit. And the whole part of Jesus being central to our lives, it flows outward. So if you just heard a little bit from that snippet from Rebecca, it's the overflow that we want Jesus to be central in the world around us. And so everything that we're about, we bring Jesus with us. So in our families, we want to see more and more moving in the direction of following Jesus. In our workplace, in our schools, in our universities, in our dormitories, in our sports, wherever you find yourself, we as a church want to help equip you and encourage you for Christ to become central in the lives of those around you so that they in turn make Christ central in their lives. So briefly, that is the heart about what we're all about. And we invite you to be on this journey together as Christ forms us individually and together to become more like Him. Now, I'm going to do just a brief review because a year ago we had a similar Vision Sunday, and some of these are some of the things we began to focus on in the last 12 months. So we put a greater emphasis a year ago right now on prayer. So if you remember, we took some extra evenings for 40 days, and we sought God. We did some teaching. We did our 24 hours of prayer in October, powerful time, and we were so encouraged by the things that God began to birth in us to encourage us to become more of a praying church. In the new year, we had lessons from the book of Joshua, really timely, as we were learning about Joshua and the people of God moving from this in-between of wilderness into the promised land and the challenges and the courage they needed, and God was leading them, the obstacles they had to overcome. And that was really applicable to where we're at as we were going through building renovations that took way longer and cost way more. And even though we started in November, we're still not quite done, even though we thought it was just going to be 4 or 5 months. So some of the things they, and then we had spiritual challenges as well all the way along. And then planting out into darkness, and we were able to send out the Rustworth, the Rosaleses, Kara, Mike and Holly. They've all moved. All who used to be sitting right here have all moved to Dartmouth, and they're meeting this morning, which is wonderful. And God's provision this morning, they had so many people this morning say they're coming. They had to move out of Mark and Debbie's house even this morning. And God provided. It's an incredible, incredible story, because Mark was talking to Emma and I on Tuesday, and just like, and Krista, like, saying, I don't know where we're going to meet this week, but we can't fit in our house. And on Wednesday, a really divine appointment, and God provided a venue this morning for free for them to meet in. They're meeting right now. But so encouraging. And so that's been a big part of the last year as well. We had a church weekend, and we were able to pray for them, send them out. And then we just had a summer in the Psalms, and I'm sorry, I had it right here. Do you have it, Ange? Do you want to come read it out? Can you just grab the mic right here? I forgot to do this last week, and I regret it, because the kids wrote a psalm this summer in kids' church. It was so awesome. So Angela's going to read it for us.
I was trying to find it earlier when we were having AV issues, but I was too slow. So the kids, with under Krista's direction, worked on this together all summer. So here it is, Christ Central Kids Song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for my dog. Praise the Lord for our horse, Bucky. Praise the Lord for his kindness. Praise the Lord for penguins and family. Praise him, all you creatures. Praise him, all you insects. Praise him, piranha plants. Praise him, Arctic animals. Praise him. And yet, O Lord, people say mean things. And yet, people are still hungry. But still, I will praise you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for family and babies and grandparents. Praise the Lord for deer and bunnies and otters. Praise the Lord for homes that even have toilets. Praise the Lord for life. Praise him, all you people in tough situations. Praise him, all you people who are sick. Praise him, birds. Praise him, everyone. Praise him. And yet, O Lord, people are sick and sometimes die. And yet, school. And yet, sometimes we fight. But still, I will praise you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Wow, that resonated with so much with the Psalm Julia shared starting out this morning. I love the honesty, and that's the great thing about the Psalms. So we learn so much. So that's just, I didn't include everything, but that's just some snapshots of things we were focusing on in the last year that have come to fruition and we're so grateful for. Let me just go into a bit more detail just about the renovations here at Clark Street and give some update. So first of all, we have to say this. It's been miraculous, God's financial provision. So let me just do a quick review. And again, I'm sharing this to give God glory and give God credit. So we had, over the years, we had saved about $450,000, which is quite a miracle right there. And most of that came from your giving over the years for our gift days and knowing that one day we would have a building, we would need renovations. As we started in the process, the figure was about $750,000 to do the reno, so we needed another $300,000. And God provided a benevolent donor who loaned us $300,000 that we still have to pay back, but without interest. So as I said to you before, banks, nobody will give us anything. financially stable enough, and nobody wants to foreclose on a church that looks really bad. So nobody will give us any money. So we have to go, we really are cast on God. And so we had our $750,000, and we proceeded, and as we know, things cost more, things take more time. We hit some bumps in the road, we had to redo some things, and basically we went over $1 million dollars, and we didn't have that extra $250,000 or more. And as I shared with you back in May, we were at our leaders meeting on a Tuesday night with $6,000 or $7,000 left in the bank, owing, I forget, it was astronomical. Owing a lot of money that we had 30 days to pay, and we didn't have the money. And we still had two more months of work to do. And well, it's a stressful thing, because we're believing God. Like, God, we feel like you said, but yet we don't want to be, we cannot not pay our people and our contractors in the hand. So we thought, God, there wasn't much discussion, because we were like, we can't figure this out. We just prayed for a couple of hours, and we just felt God give us this. By Friday, we need a sign from God to either stop or keep going. But if we don't get a sign from God by like a Monday, we're stopping, because we just don't have the money to continue. So we prayed, and we did put a bit of an SOS to our family churches. I did a video, I sent one to us as a church, sent one to our family churches, and just said what I'm saying to you. And so by Friday noon, not one penny had come in. And I remember just thinking, we prayed Friday morning, I'm like, I'm going till midnight tonight. Like, it, we said Friday, so Friday noon, I'm like, we got 12 more hours. And I just shared before the miraculous story of someone coming in who didn't know the severity of the need, who shared they'd been thinking about this for over a month, and they felt today was the day. And I'm like, did you see our video? Did you see it? No. And left an envelope, walked out. I didn't even open it. I didn't. And when they left, opened up, there was a check for $100,000. Like, I sent a quick text to Gary, Ollie, Mark, and Mark, in his very dry sense of humor, said, do you think that's a sign? We took it as a sign that we're to continue going. But folks, we still need a lot more money. And so we kept praying, and as you know, you've been at our prayer meetings, all the different things, we just keep praying for God's provision. And we never know how God's going to provide. It's not always financial. God saves us money sometimes that we don't have to spend. And people labor and volunteering, and there are people even in yesterday volunteering, serving, saving us money by the list. But since that time, our friends, some of you met our friend Warren Stroop, who came a year and a half ago from Oregon, and I spent 10 days with Warren as part of my sabbatical. Their church gave us $10,000 US, which came in to like $13,000-$14,000 Canadian. We had another organization, long story, but gave us $22,500. We were able to get the HSC back from July 1st for what we spent in January, and our MB Power rebate, which came in to over $100,000 combined. And then, folks, it is amazing. People kept giving. I could go on and on and on. We still have needs. We still aren't quite done yet. But can we just stop for a minute? I just want to thank God for his provision. So God, we thank you, Lord, humbly. God, we give you all the credit. We give you all the glory. Lord, we're not smart enough. We're not, Lord, wealthy enough to figure all this out. God, we cast ourselves upon you, believing that you were leading us by faith to trust you. And you said that you would provide. And God, you have provided over and over and over and over again. God, we're so grateful, Lord. We're thankful, Lord. Humble, God, you get the credit, you get the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. And folks, can I just say this? That's a testimony you can share with other people. So I had someone in the building last week, and I don't since the believer, and I was showing them around, and she just said, "Can I just ask you, where did you get the money?" And I said, "Well, most of it came from my people, generous, sacrificial," and I just told a few of the stories, and she goes, she said, "Look, my hair is standing up on end." She swore, I won't repeat what she said, she said a big no-no word, and then she remembered who I was and where she was at, and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." That's okay. I get the shock of what you're, because it is shocking, and it is, but I said, I was very clear. You understand, like, I don't know if you believe in God, but God has provided for us. And she was just like, "Oh, it's an opportunity to share. God's real. God provides." That's why I'm focusing on that. What happened with that money? Here's some of the things. We got a ventilation system in it that you never had before. We've got some parts of the building, more heat and AC, and we still have more to come. So we didn't get the AC and heat in here that we wanted, and we're still seeking to do that in the next few months to upgrade that, just so you're aware. We've got our main floor washrooms are all new. We've got the lift in and working, which allows us to get people up and down between the two floors. On the second floor, it works. We've got a multi-purpose room that's being put into use right now. Second floor, all new washrooms, new flooring, stairwell upgrades, electrical upgrades, and key is that all those things are up to code, past inspection, everything. So well done, everybody, for... Because if you've been here in the last year, we went some weeks without a washroom. We had a porta potty outside in the middle of winter. You guys have really, kids' church out in the lobby, babies screaming, bless you, parents, for everything. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to say, this is always dangerous when I get into names because I know I'm going to leave someone out, but Gary, Trevor, Tim Bicknell, many others, like, hours, 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 hours. No one sees, no one knows, serving, and just say thank you to them. Okay, yes, you can give a thank you. All right, moving on. Because all these things in the building getting ready, it's all for the sake of other people. We know that, right? Like, the building's just a tool. The building isn't the church. Because I correct all the people all the time, and I know it annoys you, but I still do it. Hey, we're going to meet at the church. No, we, the people, are the church. This is a building. That's why we call it 140 Clark Street. It's not the church. It's a building. It's functional, multi-purpose for the community. We, the people, are the church.
Thank you.
All right, there's a handout, and I'm just going to go over some of the things that are happening this autumn between now and Christmas, and it's not exhaustive, but it gives you some highlights, so you can pick that up at the welcome table, but let's just walk through some of the things. So first of all, I just want to highlight our life groups, and that's our small groups that we have as part of our church family. So it's great to meet here on a Sunday together, but it's harder to build relationships, it's harder to feel connected. So we have groups of people from 8, 10, up to 16, 18 people that meet in homes throughout the city, different nights of the week. We have one that meets during the day. And we've got some awesome life group leaders, and we would love for you to be able to get connected. And so, where's Ollie? Ollie, can you stand up for a second and just say, "Ollie, over here." If you want information about life group, connection, all of that, please see Ollie afterwards. Just want to, and we have one specifically sort of for our university college young adult age group as well. So you can see Ollie about that. We have a private Facebook live stream, so I'm not sure if everyone's aware of that, but if you're not connected to that and would like to be, please talk to us. So this morning is going on our live stream. Now, we have it private, so let me just explain that for a minute, and that might change because we have some technical things, whether we go YouTube or all of those things, so that might change. But the reason we have it private is this. So only we as church family and some of our church family who have moved but still want to be connected in some different parts of the world, but we have sort of control over who's part of that. We understand that as we share on a Sunday morning, we're a little bit different than some churches. We share a lot during the worship, just as we did today. We share a lot of needs, and so we have decided to keep that private and not out to the whole world to see, and there's pros and cons to that. Our message goes out publicly, but if you're not a part of that, we'd love for it. And usually, most weeks, we do a review of the message, and there's questions there that are put out on that live stream. So that's for your personal use. You can use it as a family, but also a lot of times that's sort of a bit of a launch pad for your life groups as well. So there's a review of the message, and you can go back anytime during the week and watch the whole message. If you missed it, or if you're away, you can tune in on Sunday morning. A lot of times I'll go, I know Hazel shared something really good, Barb shared something good on Sunday, but I can't quite remember what. You can go back and go, there it is. Thank you. So I just want to make that available to you. We have some equipping evenings coming up. So those are on some Wednesday nights, 7:39 here at the building, September 25th, October 30th, November 27th. And those evenings, we try to do some more practical hands-on that we don't always get to do on a Sunday morning. So we're going to be looking at things like, again, how do we hear God's voice? What about the gift of prophecy? How can I hear from God? How can I speak to some very practical things? And that's for everyone to come and for those three evenings in September, October, November. We've got our friends Dave and Rosie Fellingham with us. Dave and Rosie are from England. They were the first ones who came 27 years ago. And we're coming up to their 27th anniversary. They came September of 1997 to help us as a church. And they were back in February. And they're going to be with us here in the Maritimes for 7 weeks. So they're right now in Dartmouth. They're heading to our sister church in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Then they're going to be here for September 17th to 26th to our sister church in Charlottetown, and then back here again in October. So we're thrilled. They're like spiritual parents to us. They're great, just inputting into us, encouraging us, equipping us. So they're going to be here. Fuel! So Pastor spoke last Sunday. Pastor, let me stand up. And Rebecca, we'll give a shout out. Rebecca Shy, she's giving a wave. Passionate. I think he said he was, were you the introvert one or the extrovert? Yeah, that's right. And Rebecca, yeah, okay. We're so thrilled that Passionate Rebecca has felt the call to help lead middle school and high school for this coming year. And they're going to be sharing more. And they're looking at meeting on Sundays after the morning meeting and the youth having lunch together. And so we're just so thrilled for them and some other things, but they'll share a bit more. And then, folks, we've got all kinds of options to pray together. You can pray on your own, obviously, but we meet every second Sunday evening, so next Sunday night, the 15th, 7:30, we meet here at the building to pray together. We're here Wednesday at noon at the building, if you're able to make it for an hour. We're on Zoom, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Gary helps lead that, 6:30 a.m. to 7. And I just say, Passionate has the deepest voice at 6:30 in the morning when he's, it scares me every time. He's like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, it's Passionate. But we wake up as we pray, but it's good. And so you have that option. People, you can come. We have people praying every Sunday morning at 8:30 here before the meeting, for an hour before the meeting. So if you want to come a bit earlier, you don't come at 9. Come at 9:15, even for 15 minutes. Pray for the morning. All kinds of opportunities. And then we have 24 hours of prayer coming up October 18th to 19th. And we'll give you some more details. But basically, we start Friday evening, and we have someone here at the building the whole 24 hours helping facilitate, and we are praying and crying out to God together. And you can come to any part for that 24 hours. So we're looking forward to that. Our open house is coming up. We've talked a lot about that. So folks, can I just encourage you? We really want and need all of you here on that 22nd. So we're going to have a regular morning meeting. We're asking if you could bring your own lunch and stay. And then from 12:30 to 2, we've invited the mayor, our counselors, our MLAs, our MPs, other church leaders. We've invited school teachers. We've invited Devin Middle, Leo Hayes. We've invited all kinds of people. And people are coming. People are RSVPing, saying they're coming. And so we want to be able to tour the building, build those friendships, share, connect. We want to be a blessing to this community. And so can you please make that a priority? We need you here to just be here. Welcome people, and we just want to see what God wants to do through that. And then we've got a men's event coming up Saturday morning, November 2nd, women's Saturday, November 23rd. We'll give you more details as we get Now here, just briefly, I want to say this. Folks, when we get to Vision and Vision Sunday, here's the great combination that we have. We as leaders, elders, our leadership team, ministry leaders now, we have a responsibility for God. We're seeking to hear from God about what does things look like specifically for our local church. And so sometimes we get things from God and we bring it to you and say, this is what we feel. But can I say this? Most of the time, God speaks to you, us, in the body, and you share it with us as leaders, and we say, God's in that, we're going to go with that. So if you're expecting, now here's the tension, it works both ways. If you're expecting, Joe, that's kind of the main and plain this morning, like I thought there was going to be something, you know, really earth-shattering, new to it, unless God gives that to us, we're not just taking a program to take for the sake of doing something new. Most of the time, God speaks, I'm saying to you, but it's us, and God drops things in our hearts to say, God's given me a burden for this, God's given me a calling, and even if it's nervous and with trepidation and say, I don't know if I can do it on my own, you don't know what God might be speaking to someone else and saying, you know what, this person has the exact same thing, and a lot of times, things come from within. It's not Joe as Moses going up to the mountain and God gives the 10-point vision plan. That can happen, but most of the time it isn't. It's us hearing from God together. And so if you feel like God maybe put some things in your heart, even if it's just you're not quite sure, make sure you share it. You don't know what piece of the puzzle you have if someone else has the puzzle over here. And as you share, we start to see what God's doing. So in the past, over the past 25 plus years, we've had like Pete Chalmers, Kelly Curtis, like God's given me a heart to do an outreach, and God has equipped us. And for 20 years, I didn't have to go to Pete and Kelly every year and go, can you please do this again? No, God had spoken and equipped and given. We had people who run Alpha, God spoke, but we've also had seasons where those things have come to a close. And right now, a lot of the things have come to a close. We've moved location. We've moved to a different building or a new neighborhood. And we're not just going to keep doing them because we were doing. No. God's brought a season. And right now, we've talked about it. We're in the in-between. We don't have a lot besides what I call the main and the plain of what we're sharing. But we're believing God's speaking. And I think one of the things God's revealing to us is some things about prayer that we're acting on. But God might have something that God's stirring in you. Can you please share that with us? So again, if you're expecting it all to come up from up front, here's a vision and where it usually doesn't happen that way. It's a tag team thing. So I just want to share that about vision. Last thing, we're going to start a new series, and we're going to be looking at the New Testament book of Galatians. And the title of our series is Misconceptions, which I'm going to flesh out in a moment. But briefly, the background to the book of Galatians is this. You have Paul, and this is a really interesting thing, and it connects to our day and our time. You have a guy named Paul who was very religious, a very good guy, a Pharisee, very zealous, and yet without Jesus. Paul encounters Jesus, and Jesus meets Paul and reveals himself, and Paul radically changes, and he was persecuting Christians, and now he's leading the Christians, and he's going around preaching and telling the message of Jesus, and people are becoming followers of Jesus, and Paul started these churches in different areas as he traveled, and one of the places he went was the area of Galatia, and what he did as he established those churches, he moved on. So what did he do? He wrote letters back to the churches he had established. And Galatians is one of those letters. And what's fascinating about this letter, and we're going to read about it in just a second. Well, let's read it. Let's read it, and then you'll pick up the tone, because it's a little bit different from some of the other letters that Paul wrote. So I'm just going to read this together. And again, if you're able, please read it out loud. That helps you get focused. So let's read this. This is Galatians chapter 1, just the first 7 verses. You got to remember, he's writing a letter. So This is where we pick it up. He writes this, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Woo! How's that for the start of a letter? Hello, Church, Christ Central. Most of all, Paul's letters are greetings. So great. Great being with you. I bring Paul. Here's the thing that we're going to look at over the next couple of months. Paul's like a parent. And some of the things that are going on in the churches in Galatia are dangerous. And Paul is like, danger, danger, danger. And Paul addresses things head on because he knows that some of these key things about teaching, about Jesus, the gospel message of Christ, if those things change, it changes everything. And Paul is anxious, like he's fearful, like you can just sense the tone of a parent going, my children are in danger, and there's no messing around, we're going right in. And here's some of the things we're going to take a look at over the next few months. The Galatians had some misconceptions about Jesus, the gospel message, and I'm going to flesh those out. And it reminds me a bit of Julia, who helped open things up this morning. She shared, I think, 2 weeks ago, she had this dream. I'm going to share it again, and it reminded me so much, I think, of what we're going to take a look at in the book of Galatians. Julia shared this during our worship time 2 weeks ago. She had this dream, and in the dream, it was like she was in prison, and at times, she would have visitation, and she'd get to go to the visitor's area, and in her dream and in her mind, going to the visitation area was, she thought, was real freedom. So if you can imagine, you're in a cell the whole time, and all of a sudden you get a visitor, and you go to the visiting section, you feel, she's like, that is free. I'm getting glimpses of freedom. That is freedom. Is that really freedom? Saying how in the dream Jesus told her, like, no, I'm leading you out of the prison. Not just the visitation, I'm leading you out of the prison so that you really are free. Some of the misconceptions the Galatians had, they were thinking they had freedom, and Paul's writing and saying, actually, the freedom you think is still in a prison. And we're going to flesh that out more. And here are some of the things that were some misconceptions. And see if they resonate maybe with our culture today. So here's some misconceptions they were taking a look at. One is this whole idea of being religious and that our work, being good, good behavior, right belief system, right behavior, all of that equals earning God's favor. I can get right with God by as long as I live a good lifestyle and believe the right things. So close, isn't it? Is that true? Is it not true? Maybe? Hybrid? We're going to flesh that out. This one. Doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you love people and do good. Is that true? No? Yes? Maybe? Kind of? Not sure? Is it a trick question? Does that sound familiar? There were cultural differences in the church, and it caused racial and social division. Would you say in our culture we have some racial and social division? And Paul's saying that's actually coming from a misunderstanding of the gospel message of Christ. The message is, you grab a hold of life and pleasure and adventure today, and you're going to experience life now. To look at an eternal point of view. Folks, those are some of the misconceptions, and I just want just with an illustration, because this is what Paul was getting at. And this is what we're going to dig down into, and we're going to look at these as we work through the book of Galatians. Paul's saying this: if you change the gospel message is the good news. Gospel is like a proclamation. So back in the day, when kings won wars and things, there was a proclamation that went out: we are victorious. It was a gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is, it's good news. It's a proclamation of what Jesus has done. Jesus is victorious over Satan, sin, death. And Paul's saying this. We'll read it. Paul's saying, if you change some of the things, it's no longer the gospel. It's not the gospel at all. So here this morning, I have, from Costco, my sparkling ice, and it's my citrus lime, and it says this: zero sugar. Okay? Zero sugar. Now here's the thing. If I open it, as I'm going to do, hear that? And I've got my sugar from home, and I'm going to just add. Saying this. You change a little bit. I just put a little bit of sugar. No, you guys thought like not very much at all. I can no longer say it's sugar free. Even if you can't really see it, it kind of blends in as you get going. But you saw something change. And Paul's saying this. You add something to the gospel, you try to take away something from it, even if it can appear on the surface to be kind of make sense, like, okay, become a better person, become a good, like, there's sometimes you're like, oh man, it's easy to have misconceptions. We're going to, over the next few months, tackle some of these things, of what the Galatians, and to be honest, were exactly the same. And a lot of things in the Galatian culture are the same in our culture today. So we're going to tackle those over the next few months. Galatians, misconceptions. And Jarrett, where did I get that sermon title from? Lecrae, thank you. So I'll end with this. Emma, a bunch of us, we're trying to come up with a catchy title for Galatians. And we came up with all these things, and we're all kind of like, that's not it. So, on vacation, driving, because we had lots of hours in the van driving, we listened to Lecrae, who's a Christian rap hip-hop artist, great lyrics, we love Lecrae, we listen for hours, and he's got a song called Misconceptions, and he walks us through, and I've listened to it like 100 times, but as I'm driving, I'm listening to it, I'm like, that's the book of Galatians. He just goes through all the misconceptions in our day. And I thought, that's it. That's totally it. So I'm going to give a shout out to Lecrae to honor him for where the title came from. Misconceptions, Galatians. We're ready to go. All right? Why don't we stand if we're able? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And we're going to sing one final song, which is really appropriate as we kind of start a new season in many of our lives and for our church, as these are the things we're taking a look at over the next several months. So I hope that's helpful for you. I know it's a little different from a typical message on a Sunday, but felt like we just need to take a time out, walk through so we're all on the same page on some of these things, and explain why we're doing what we're doing, and give you hopefully a little taster of Galatians that you'll come back next week, and you might want to read those first 9 verses this week to get you ready. All right. So Angela's team are going to sing a song, which is really one of those songs that we sing to God, but we also get to declare it.